Every single day I feel it.
Artlist.io.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never know I'm best, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Welcome back to That One Studio. It's your boy C-Rock in the building. Let's go on the What Are You Made Of show. Man, I always say this every time, but I'm telling the truth. I got another great guest for you. And we're going to be finding out what they're made of today. And, you know, I want you to put your seatbelt on, put your helmet on, get ready for this one. I got Coach JV in the house. He woke up from an attempted suicide on December 18th, 2006, to a book called The Secret. From that day forth, the next 17 years of his life would never be the same. After his attempted suicide, Coach JV pursued a bachelor's degree and graduated from CBA Executive Banking School and soon scaled himself up to vice president at a large bank. After years of dedication to the corporation, he went through a great spiritual awakening and started to see the system for what it was. He decided to leave the high-paid VP job and with his business partner, Cesar Jeremy Quintanilla, created a million-dollar freedom company called 3T Warrior Academy. This academy has helped thousands of warriors worldwide break free from the job just over broke system and learn how to journey to freedom in mindset and health and in generational wealth building. Coach JV, welcome to the show.
Thank you, brother. So excited. I've been waiting for this for a long time and I love it. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank those that are listening right now. Thank you to the listener or watcher, however you're consuming this content. But I also want to thank you, Coach JV, because you and May have made a difference in my life already. I started watching your content and I'm like, who is this guy? And, you know, we were talking about this before the show. I believe I have the right to whatever I decide I have the right to. And I felt like I had a right to communicate with you. So I reached out through DM, and which most people aren't willing to do and or don't believe that the person's going to answer them or what have you. And I just go for it because I feel like, stranger or not, I can change that around.
Yes.
And so I reached out to you and we had a great call. I talked to you in May and you guys impacted me already. But I want to thank you and express gratitude for you trusting in That One Agency to get your message out.
Absolutely.
And, you know, especially people that align with me, I really want to push and get them out to impact more people because I believe that each individual, you know, we can make an impact. But when we partner and when we collaborate, we can do exponential impact. And that's what my mission is every day. I wake up in the morning obsessed letting people know that they're unstoppable to live in a life of the dream. So I want to thank you and express gratitude first before we get into this interview today.
Oh, I want to reverse that back to you and I accept and I say thank you and the gratitude to you as well. Since we came on with the That One Agency, our expansion has gone rapidly in 2024. You know, you had shared with me the power of podcasting and the power of connecting with That One Agency and networking. And it's been a short amount of time and it's been pretty remarkable. So we want to say thank you as well.
Yeah, man. You're welcome. I received that and get ready because you're just getting started, man. All right. So we start this show the same way every time. And that's with a question that's written on the wall behind me. What are you made of?
I love this. So I'll start with a statement that I say on every single podcast. So what you believe in your heart, you think in your mind will eventually become your words and become your reality. If you can see it in your mind, eventually you can hold it right here in your hands. What you repeatedly do gets ingrained in your subconscious mind. What gets ingrained in your subconscious mind becomes an unconscious activity. So I'm made of my thoughts, my actions, and my behaviors, and most of all, controlling my emotions, which has created a reality of financial freedom, spiritual freedom, and mental freedom.
Freaking love it, man. I freaking love it. Let's dive in. Okay, so I want to talk about your story, but I got to say, I just posted a story today on my Instagram, and it had to do with what you just said in a way, because I said, I have the secret to success. Are you ready? And I made them push over to the next story, right? It's a little trick I use. Yeah. And the next story just said, and I said in the first one, I said, you're going to have to decode this.
Okay.
And the next story said again and again and again, all the way down the page and again and again and again and again and again.
Feel that.
Because that's what it takes. You just talked about the fact that the things you do over and think about over and over and over again get embedded into your subconscious mind. And consistency is key because it compounds. So Coach JV, we're so aligned. It's not even funny because I just put that up today. I want to know your story, man. Like, take us back as far back as you want to go. You've shared some things with me, and I don't know how much you share in public, so I'll let you share what you'd like to, but I'd love to hear where your story started.
Yeah, it started back when I was a little kid, man. Some stuff happened to me as a child that I won't get too deep into that, but some stuff that shouldn't happen to a child from about kindergarten to about sixth grade, and that really shaped and formed my early adult years, which was fear, anxiety, lack not feeling I was worthy or worth anything. And what it did is it actually had me in a deep outside journey. So I was trying to find myself in edification outside of myself. And so I went in the military right out of high school, very early in high school. You know, I kind of had no direction. So I went in the military, got out, and I became a competitive bodybuilder. I fell in love with bodybuilding, just the fact that you can singularly do something for a long enough period of time and transform your body. But my intentions were incorrect, as I was looking for edification because I just didn't get it as a child. I didn't get it in high school. I wasn't a good athlete. And so I was seeking this thing outside of myself. And I did pretty well in bodybuilding. It became a massive obsession for me. But the problem was my intentions. That's just key to this. And through that clean cut guy, and in I think it was about 2003, transition 2004, I had a pretty bad leg injury, and I got prescribed an opiate, a Vicodin, and I had low self-confidence, low self-worth. And I took that Vicodin, and I know exactly the freeway, the underpass I was driving under in my car, had an H2 Hummer, and I was driving through, and all of a sudden I got this euphoric feeling in my body, and I was like, whoa. What was that? And I started communicating with people, and I was more euphoric. And so the next day I took it for the injury, but I really took it for the feeling. And if anybody's ever dealt with anybody with an opiate addiction, it went from one pill to two pills, to three pills. And back then the opiate, it was crazy. You could get opiates. It was wild. It was basically a pandemic back then, from 2004 to 2008. And
intentional, by the way. That was intentional.
100%. 100% intentional. And I was a victim of that. And I became a victor, which is great. But went from, you know, up to 20 pills a day. And then eventually I transitioned to a drug a lot of bodybuilders did called Nubane. And that was the end of me. From July 2006 to December 2006, I had about 60 grand sitting in my bank account. I was broke by December 18th, 2006. I was at Walmart trying to buy some Christmas presents for my daughter. I was, you know, I thought I was running a company. I was a functional drug addict, basically. And my main mission from July to that time was to get drugs every single day. I was taking every drug you could think of. I was completely spiraling, and I swiped my debit card. It declined, and I'd always had money in my bank account. Then I swiped my business debit card. It declined. I swiped my business credit cards. It declined. And so I ended up going to the bank, and I'd never been overdrafted in my account. And the banker sitting across from me turns the account, his screen towards me, and it was all red. And he's like, dude, you're overdrafted, man. You have no money. All your credit cards are maxed. That's how high I was every day. I had, you know, at this point, I have a 3-year-old daughter. I'm dragging her around, buying drugs, places. I was a horrible father, man. Horrible father. And I decided that it was all over then. The game was up, right? I was broke. I'd embarrassed a bunch of people. I'd lost a bunch of people money. My business was failing. And I decided to try to take my own life on December 18, 2006. Took a massive amount of opiates. And ironically, there's a book over my right shoulder here that 48 hours later, my phone rings. I don't know if you remember the smartphones that had the little screen on the front of it, the flip phones. And it said, mom. And so I had to get up. The first thought, which is crazy, which is important, the first thought was, I can't even kill myself correctly. That was my first thought. And I go over to the phone, I flip open my phone, and it's my mom. And my mom and I's relationship was kind of, you know, tattered because of the drug addiction. And we're, you know, used to be best friends. And she said, I don't know what the F is going on with you, but you need to read a book called The Secret. And that's where this journey started, brother. It was in 2017 years ago. I read a book called The Secret. I'd never had exposure to spirituality, never exposure to Jesus, God, or anything like that. Nothing, no, nothing. I was just surviving in survival mode from child to 31 years old. Read that book, and my whole life changed from that point on, brother.
Yeah, you know, not a lot of people are getting that second chance nowadays, or third chance, or fourth chance, because of the fentanyl. And I went through a phase myself where I was doing a similar thing from probably age, I would say 18 to 24, same kind of thing. I never got suicidal, but it got dark, man. And like a lot of these folks now that are doing this, they're getting. There's something in there now, which is, I think, intentional too. It's just wiping them out, right? Yeah. And unintentionally on their part. But we're very blessed that we had the opportunity to get through that, and now we can impact this planet and hopefully get into people's, you know, psyche and change some things. So this is what this show is all about, man. And I love the fact that, you know, you're sharing this journey and you're being vulnerable. So after you read The Secret, there's always a thing like a cognition, an aha moment, right?
Yeah.
In that book, when you were going into that new journey, what was the first aha moment you could recall?
Yeah, I can recall it to the T, and it changed my life. So I had lost everything. I was getting evicted from my apartment. Thank God my parents, I would say self-induced homeless, right? My parents have always been there for me, great people. So now here I'm with a three-year-old daughter. I'm broke. They're towing away my H2 Hummer. I had to file bankruptcy. It was just a nightmare. But after I read the book, The Secret, I was like, okay, so if thoughts truly, now at this point, maybe I had an advantage because I had nothing at this point. So all I could believe in it was these thoughts things. So I started doing the manifestation. I created a vision board. I started to go sit. There's a place called Val Vista Lakes. I used to go sit there and I would imagine myself. I'd see these houses on the lake and I'd imagine myself barbecuing with my kids, doing all this stuff. And I started to feel this energy in my body start to change. And I started to walk differently. And I started to go on walks and I started to connect with nature. And then I get a call from one of the guys that saved my life. And he said, hey, listen, this is where the journey started. He said, I needed a job, man. I needed a job. I needed income. And he said, hey, why don't you come interview for this banker job? And I'm like, banker? Now, if you know me now, I have severe dyslexia. I've always had severe dyslexia. So I'm thinking banker, like I was a bodybuilder, had a bodybuilding company. It didn't make sense. He goes, just go to the interview. So I go to the Goodwill. I buy a suit at Goodwill, the thrift store. I show up to this interview and I just came with energy. I came with a lot of energy, a smiling. And I said to her at the end of the interview, I said, listen, ma'am, if you give me this job, I will be the hardest working employee you've ever hired before. I promise you. I said, I will clean the toilets or whatever. I just need income right now. And I left and I thought, nah, that's far chance it. So she calls me 15 minutes later. I pick up the phone and she says, we're going to hire you as a banker. And I'm like, why? And I said, why? And she goes, because we like your energy. I was like, interesting. The first time I was ever exposed to energy. And so what I decided to do is once I got that banker job, I showed up before the manager. I was the last one to leave. I'd mop the floors. I'd do everything I could. And I started to help people that were a reflection of me. So people, the housing crisis had just finished up in 2008 and people were coming in that were losing their houses. They couldn't pay their bills. They were losing their jobs. The market had fallen out. And so basically I was just helping my old self. And so I would sit with every single client. I noticed a lot of the bankers would focus on all the high value clients, right? Oh, there's Mrs. Jones. She has a million in her account. Let's go talk to her. I talked to everybody. If you had zero money in your account, you were negative in your account. I saw a reflection of me in them. And I became one of the top performing bankers. And lo and behold, I ended up doing another interview and I ended up getting my own branch. And they said, we like your energy. And then it just continued on from them. So I became really disciplined, consistent. I did specific activities over and over and over again that I can measure the success. And I would just adjust just a little bit. So I did the vision boards, the manifestations, the I am affirmations. And I quickly, 2 years, 7 months, 28 days, moved to vice president at the bank. And they sent me to CBA Executive Banking School. And that's where my second awakening came in, where this whole transition to where I'm at today happened.
So we talked before the show about the right to have something. Mm. And it sounds to me, and by the way, this secret thing, they call it the secret for a reason. And I believe really truly that the there's people in power that don't want the population
100%.
To know something. And because once we know something, then we can start to think that, you know, and believe that we have the right to something. And then you only have what you think you have the right to have. Mm-hmm. And this is like the story of what happened here. You know, and then, you know, from this journey, you started to have your ability restored, right? Your ability to have whatever that may be.
Yeah.
And so as you're going through this and you get into the banking, I want to go into, because I want to really lean into what you're working on now. So
yeah,
when you're into banking, and by the way, I don't know, I think I told you this, I was in the mortgage business for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I got out of it too, out of that. Where was like the point where you were like, wait a minute, I'm designed to play a bigger game than this.
Yeah. So it's exactly what you just said. So I realized, I was in banking school and I have severe dyslexia. So I really have to pay attention in school. So first thing I noticed was we were in South Carolina at Furman University. We didn't go to Furman, but we took over their campus as executives. So we'd go there for 3 years. We'd take over the campus in the summer. So all these executives would fly from all over the world. It's one of the most prestigious banking schools. And the first thing I noticed was we're all making a ton of money, but everybody's miserable. Everybody's taking sleeping medication. They're partying every single night. I'm like, is your life that miserable at home? You know, we're making all this money. We had the 535 IBMWs. Our lives are that miserable where people are cheating on their wives and not everybody, but it was like they were so concerned about partying. Well, I had to pay attention and I really wanted to do good because I was so grateful for this opportunity. So I started to really pay attention. This campus was beautiful and nobody noticed it. And I met this, there was a gardener there at the campus and he had these beautiful flowers. And I just would talk to him like, hey man, like, you know, you really seem like you love what you do. He goes, dude, I have everything I need. And I'm like, what do you mean by that? He's like, I got food, I got shelter, I got my family. He goes, look at my flowers, man. Look what I have. I get to experience. And he started to, he goes, do you notice that none of these executives can see the ducks in the pond? And I was, so I started talking to this guy. It was kind of like a Mr. Miyagi thing. And then not by chance, I got it. One of the professors told me to read the book Creature of Jekyll Island, which is probably the worst thing he could have done while I was in banking school. And I saw the system for what it was. When I understand what the Federal Reserve was, that they control our money supply, which we know that, and they control the job markets. When I understood that the system was designed against us, not for us, and that me as a banker, I was not educating my customers. I was burying my customers in a slavery system, which is a debt-based system. From 2012 to 2017, I had this gut feeling in my stomach that I had to leave. So I, you know, I stayed, I did my thing, and finally I walked out in 2017. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. We are not providing financial education. We're teaching people how to stay broke. We're giving them a 74-month loan on a car when they make $30,000 a year. It doesn't make any sense. So I left. And I thought because of my education and how fast I had moved up in the company, it was going to be all sunshine and rainbows. Well, I left in 2017, had a nice 401k, a bunch of money in my bank account. We started this company. And the first time I launched my program, zero people signed up. The second time I launched it, zero people signed up. Now my bank account's draining. The third time I launched it, nobody signed up. Actually, two people signed up. Fourth time we launched it, we're going into 2019. Nobody signed up. Then I went into Alex Hormozi's gym launch program and we exploded. Our thing exploded, which was awesome because it taught me the power of understanding what I deserve, right? He was like, of course you deserve this. Sales are not bad. You're helping people. And it was really a powerful program. And so I went through that. Right when everything was working out, the pandemic hits and they shut our business down. And then I was a moment where I'm like, what the F is going on here, man? There's something wrong with our system, dude. And I got pissed. Brother, I got pissed. I was like, this is, and so at that point, I drew a line. I had to move back in with my parents. I was broke on my parents' couch. They took everything from us. I'm in the facility right now. So they shut us down. They had curfews and stuff. And I'm like, there's something wrong with this system, man.
Where were you located at the time?
Mesa, Arizona. That's where I'm in my facility right now. So we've expanded. But yeah, it was like they shut us down. They created these curfews. I remember I was driving to, so it was when it was really heavy, right? And so they had the curfews in Arizona. We had curfews. I was driving to the gym and we were a gym, so we couldn't be open. I was driving to the gym, but we have our Warrior Academy. I'm in my conference room, my studio. We do YouTube. And I was driving in. And I got pulled over and the cop was like, hey, where are you heading to? I'm like, work. And he's like, oh, there's a curfew. Like, what type of business do you have? And I said, it's a gym. He said, those are shut down. I'm like, no, you can't tell me that I can't go to my place of business to conduct business. He's like, yes, I can. And I'm like, it was a sheriff. I'm like, no, you can't. And I'm like, I'm going to my place. There's nobody at my facility. There's nobody touching each other. There's no weird shit happening. Like, there's no interactions happening. And I got to my facility and I was like, something has to change, man. Something has to change. And so I drew a line in the sand. And I remember going on a walk with my mom. Me and my mom are really close. And we were walking around the block. And I looked her in the eyes. She's beautiful blue eyes. And I said, Mom, life will never be the same from this point on. And belief is powerful. My mom looked at me with tears in her eyes. And she said, I believe you. I believe you. And she'll tell, if you ever meet my mom, she'll tell you the story. She was like, I saw a man was born. I was a broken little boy, dude. I was still looking for edification. I was still looking for, you know, all this stuff from the outside. And I finally became a man in that moment. I was like, my kids now are watching their dad have to move back in with their parents. It doesn't make any sense. And so I finally drew a line in the sand. I became more committed to the pain of change and staying the same. I had to rewire my brain to end up in a different situation, the foundation. And then I started studying. So I followed Gary Vee's strategy of the flipping, the free Facebook thing. I started creating money out of nothing. I started investing in a speculative asset called crypto. And nothing's the same, man. Our life is completely different now. So the key to this factor, though, is all about I was still doing the same discipline, consistent activities that made the success in banking. It just took some time to be successful in another arena.
Yeah. So let's talk about that for a second. One of my challenges has been patience. And I thought when I started my journey back about 5 years ago, well, my journey started a long time ago, but the journey specific turning point to get known globally for impact, not ego. I was ready to go. I felt like I was ready to go right out of the gates. And I would talk to Grant Cardone and a guy named Tim Story. And I was having all these successful people around me and I was interviewing them and talking to them. And I was like, gosh, man, like why can't I be where you are right now? Like, what do I got to wait for? Why do I have to wait? And, you know, couple of things that I heard was, you know, you know, a frog has to be a tadpole first and you can't give birth to an adult. So there's a process, there's a journey, embrace the journey, and people will come calling for you when you're ready. So let's talk about patience for a second. Was that a challenge for you, patience? And where's the line between patience and urgency? Because we are only here on this planet for so long. So can you kind of talk about that part for yourself, your perspective on that?
The first thing was, there was a huge sense of, so I had patience until the money dried up and then it became urgent. And then I lacked patience and then it started to spiral. So I'll go through that process. So when I had, you know, over six figures sitting in my bank account, a bunch of money sitting in my 401k that I had access to, when that all dried up, it moved from patience to urgency and desperation. So I started operating in a different field. The field that I had created was abundance, manifestation. And then I went from abundance and manifestation into scarcity. Then when I went into scarcity, it became chaos. And when it became chaos, it became less patient. And so I call it surrender. Like, so I went into surrender mode where it was in 2020, where we had let go of our last team member because we, you know, COVID shut us down. Got on the phone with my, you talked about Jeremy in the beginning of the intro here, my CFO. And I said, dude, and I'm just gonna be honest with you guys. I was like, I can't fucking do this anymore, dude. Like, I'm broke on my parents' couch. I had a huge crypto portfolio, but I wasn't touching it. I was not touching that. So I moved back with my parents. I'm like, I'm not cashing this out. I believe this is gonna go somewhere. So I call him up and I was like, listen, man, I can't do this anymore. This is his exact words. He was like, JV, all I'm gonna tell you is you're a fucking legend. Get back in there. And something shifted in my body. I was like, I was right outside this facility. So what I did was, is I took the key and I put the key in the door and I said, God, I believe in you. I really, really do. Not religion. I have a relationship with you. If I turn this key, I surrender everything to you. I am not fucking turning back. And I turned the key, man. And from that point on, brother, everything exploded. My daughter got us on TikTok. We went absolutely viral. It was like almost... like a switch was turned on. My daughter's like, let's start building a reel. Let's do some funny TikToks.
How old was she when that happened?
She's six. She was 16 when that happened. So she's 16, 19, yeah. About 16. Yeah. So we're,
wait a minute. Before you go on, I got to point something out here. Yeah. So every moment of my life, like turning point in my life, is when I did surrender. And when you did that, did you notice like this weight just disappears as fast as possible? Like light comes in and light, like, this light that's shining in my face right now, and also lightness.
Yes.
Did you notice that?
Yes. And now I know why. So that was in 2020. And now I've been going through some deep spiritual work over the past 24 months that I understand what happened is because the scarcity, the lack, the fact that I said to myself, I can't fucking do this anymore, pulled me into the carnal mind. But when I finally got frustrated enough and deep enough, just like my suicide, where I said, you know what, God, whatever you are, Lord, Jesus Christ, I surrender to you. It was the darkness was taken out. And it was like, it gave me this renewed energy, right? That I've held on to since that moment. And then I've used the surrender when, because there's so many things in the Bible that talk about it, man. There's so many things. They say a camel, right? A camel can go through the eye of a needle. People push this to me all the time when I talk. We're going to have a $1 billion ecosystem. I say it all the time. And when I do that, because I'm very, I speak about my faith a lot boldly. That's why I created my own ecosystem, because in corporate America, I couldn't talk about politics and religion. Well, guess what? I built ecosystems where you can talk about politics and you can talk about your religion or whatever your faith is. So they say the camel can go through an eye of a needle, but a rich man can't. Well, let's break that down for just a moment. This is from my own personal experience. They're not saying, have you ever seen a camel go through an eye of a needle? I haven't. But if a camel, the eye of the needle was like a bridge, right? So the camel was carrying burden. It carried stuff on the back for them, right? So what they did is they removed the burden. They took the burden off the camel's back. Then the camel could kneel down and go under it. They're saying the rich man can't go through an eye of a needle until he removes the burden and surrenders. And so that's what I did. I surrendered and I became the richest man in the world. And now I use that technique with coaching and stuff. I'm like, have you fully surrendered this to whatever you believe? Because there's something out there and it's an energy, it's a vibration, whatever you want to call it, that is going to help you out if you release the carnal mind. And that's, we talked about, you know, they, whoever they are, right? There's these people out there that know that, right? Jesus said the devil is the prince of the earth. If you're the prince of the earth, if the human has the ability to think, to act on those thoughts and have emotions, what would you control? Their emotions, therefore their thoughts controlling their actions, right? So when you surrender, it allows you to reframe your thoughts, therefore framing your actions. And then if you can control your emotions, that's what they don't want us to do. They want us to be stuck in this emotional state, and they want us to be stuck in this slavery system of a debt-based system where we're trading time for money. And so that's the biggest thing about surrendering. It's like, finally, you know, if you are frustrated right now, anybody listening to this, just try for a moment. Jesus said, take no thought. Just take no thought. Let it go. Let it go and see what happens. Like the craziest... You meeting you, man. Like the more I surrender, I just meet these cool people that are here to help. There's like no other intentions than, hey, listen, how can we help each other out? How can we network together? But my old life, brother, it was like dog eat dog. People were screwing me over, stealing money in business. It was me. It had nothing to do with them. It was me. It was me against me. I always say it's a zero-sum game. I always say Jesus Christ is undefeated. Like, think about that. They killed him because he was inverting their teachings. And we still talk about him every single day because he told us, when you look in the mirror, it's undefeated. JB, it's your thoughts, your actions, your behaviors done for a long enough period of time that becomes your reality. So I decided to surrender, change my thoughts. Therefore, my actions match my thoughts. I control my emotions and I surrender the things that I can't control. And then I meet people like you.
And see, some people hear this, right? And they're like, well, you know, you still got to do something. You got to have, there's effort involved, this and that. Well, of course, but you like the, when you think and then you tie the emotion to that thought, the effort comes effortless.
Yes.
And you just do things that it's like you, the information of like the how just appears and you just start doing it like almost instinctively.
Yes.
Right. And it's so when people are grinding and they're trying to figure it out and this and that, and that they haven't surrendered, it seems hard.
Mm. Yeah.
Like that's hard work, but it's not hard work at all. Once you get this formula right,
that's what's powerful. So I'll bring up some specific examples. I'll use you as an example, me, Alex Hormozi, Joe Rogan, Russell Brand. These are people that I can think of that pop on the top of my head that I really appreciate. And the reason why is because the reason why we can grind all day is because we're truly embodying who we are. And when you're being who you be, it doesn't feel like work. I know it's cliche, you don't work a day in your life. Well, when people push back on Alex or something like, oh, he talks about working 19 hours a day and stuff. He's not working. He loves what he does. I've met the guy. He loves what he does. When you meet me, I have all these companies. I'm doing all this stuff, but my job is awesome, man. And so the problem with our society is what they do is your parents have to stop telling your kids this. Go to school, get a job, get a 401k. What if your kid doesn't want to be an engineer? You're literally enslaving them into carnal mind where now they're at a job, trading time for money, selling their soul to a company that they don't even like. And you expect them to come home and be there for their kids? You expect them to come home and be excited to see their spouse, partner, or loved one? Like, how does the devil attack the church? Through the family, right? Put them in a systematic process where you trade time for money, so much time you can't pay attention. And then when it comes to Friday, you're hoping that you have enough money to pay your bills. And we expect people to like I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic. And, you know, I love America. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's serving a God. And the face of that God is the dollar bill.
Yes.
And you become enslaved to it. It's so true. And I hope everybody listening to this really takes this in and thinks about this. Thinking is the key. Think about this. Now, with the people that we're talking about, we mentioned, both of us have mentioned this, they. Like, first of all, who are they and why are they like that?
Yeah. Why? Oh, great question. So who are they, right? So who are they? They are the people that we have given power to. Like, we have given the power. We have, maybe I'll get the number wrong, but it's pretty close. 99% of our DNA is alike and about 1% is different, right? They take the 1% of our difference and they separate the 99%. So these they people, right? They understand at a very, very, very deep level, subconscious mind programming. They understand carnal mind. They understand the teachings, biblical teachings. They hidden things in plain sight for us. It's everywhere. From the Vatican is a pine cone. pineal gland. Jacob saw God face to face. He called it pineal. He fell asleep on a rock. I'm paraphrasing, right? He saw a ladder, your spine, up and down the ladder to the light. Moses went to the burning bush. He went up and to the right. Jesus said, cast your nets to the right. Right? They caught 153 fish. 1 plus 5 plus 3 is 9. The number of God is conscious. 9, 6, 6, 6. 6 plus 6, 6, 6 is 18. 8 plus 1 is 9. You go down a 6. You curve back to the left hemisphere of the brain. You go up a 9. You curve back to the right hemisphere of the brain. Jesus said, to get in the kingdom of heaven is to be like these lowly children. Why? Because they're pure subconscious. They don't have a carnal mind yet. The elites, they know this. They are practicing this. They are manifesting. They are creating. And they are so fearful that we will wake up. That's why they killed Jesus. He was a hopium dealer. He was waking people up. I am boldly stand on this, that I feel this, because the reason why I say this, my friend, is if I want to ask you a question. If I went to every single person, adult in the world, and I said, do you know who Jesus Christ is? What do you think they would say? Just, do you know him? Have you heard his name before? What do you think they would say?
Most people, yes.
Yeah. And why? Why? Why would most people know that? Because he's embodied in us. He's in our heart. It's all over the Bible. It says the heart. There's a very, very powerful picture called, I'm going to say it incorrect, the Sandra Mooney. It's one of the most expensive pictures in the world where Jesus, and some people say it's not a picture of Jesus, but it's supposedly Jesus. He's holding something in his hand right here and he's pointing up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't recognize it's the most powerful picture in the world. He says, be in the world, but not of the world. And he's pointing, but people don't recognize in between the two, it's the biggest secret. It's your heart. It's getting out of your head down into your heart and what it's what your intentions are. Like, for example, his name isn't even Jesus, it's Yeshua. So if he was walking around today and I said, hey, Jesus, he'd be like, who are you talking to? But when I started going through this coaching, I asked my coach, I freaked out. I'm like, am I praying to the wrong people? He goes, JV, when you pray, what are your intentions? I said, love, like for humanity and support for humanity. He goes, then it doesn't matter if you call Jesus Bob, Frank, Julie. He's like, it's your intentions of your heart. That's what Jesus was telling you. And so it's an interesting. So who are they? It's the same people in Jesus's timeline. 2000. It's the Pharisees. It's the people that killed him. Like we're giving them the power. We're giving them the power. Like it's as we think they're taking our power. We're just giving it to them. It's like, here you go. We have free will to take it back. And it's not. And again, it's not about protesting or going against them. It's about getting your shit together. If every single person got their shit together, it wouldn't matter who the president is. That's what I did the last 3.5 years. Everybody was complaining about, you know, the president and, you know, saying someone's going to come back. And I got my shit together. The same people yep. I was with 4 years ago disappeared because they're like, oh, you're full. I'm like, I built two going on third seven figure ecosystem where everybody else is waiting for Trump to come back. I got to work. And because Jesus Christ told me that I had the ability to think, to walk, to talk. And most of all, God gave me free will to act. So I get really intense with that stuff because the world needs to wake up to the fact that we do have free will. We do have sovereignty to decide. We do have the ability to make decisions. And you said too, faith without works is foolish. You can't just create a vision board and you can't just write down your goals and do all your I am affirmations and just sit there. But you said it powerfully. If you're doing the right things and you're in alignment with who you are, those things will show up that you need to do. Those things will show up that you need to do.
100%, man. You know, right on with this. I hope people are really taking this in and, you know, also understanding, by the way, energy, mm-hmm. The word energy comes from the Greek en, in, within, and then ergon, which is work.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. So, and that's something that I learned when we were talking before this about how to learn. How to learn is when you learn how to learn, it is the most powerful thing you can do.
Yes.
And when you have a limit in your life, it's because you don't know how to learn and you are limited to the degree you know how to learn. So one thing I always do, I look up words and I take the time to do that, even though it takes me longer to read a book, but then it speeds me up in the learning process. So in work is energy.
That's beautiful.
Like everything lines up here with this. So, I could talk to you for hours. I'm going to keep going if you're cool. You all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally done.
So I want to know, I guess the next thing I wanted to know about is you have a spiritual teacher or coach. Mm-hmm. How did you pick that person and know that that was the right person to work with?
Man, you're gonna make me cry, man. There's two people in my life that have changed my life. There's a guy named Chase Imperial. You'll never find him. He's not a social media guy. You'll never find this dude, man. He found me. I found him. they're going out to Peru. So there's Chase, but nobody will ever be able to find him. People are like, well, how could I have you? Well, you won't find him unless he finds you. Let's, I don't know how to explain that. But my coach here in America, he's the author of Psychosmos. It's the synthesis of humanity and spirituality. His name is Matt. And so he, at first when I saw, so here's how he found me. He found me. I have been I'm a very driven, motivated individual. So I'm kind of a solo guy, right? And I realized through meeting people like you, meeting you too, is like the doing it solo is not going to work, man. And so how he found me, let me just explain it. All of a sudden a book shows up to our facility here, and I had torn my quad last year really bad. I couldn't walk for like 3 months. And so my team brought the book to the, and it said something in the front of the book. And at the back end of the book, there was the Age of Aquarius. He's talking about the Age of Aquarius, the transition we're in now. And there was a quote on there, and it said, what you believe in your heart, you think in your mind, will eventually become your words and become your reality. If you can see it in your mind, eventually you can hold it right here in your hands. What you repeatedly do gets ingrained in your subconscious mind. What gets ingrained in your subconscious mind becomes an unconscious activity, and had my name. And inside of this book, he has quoted Carl Jung, Jesus Christ, Jordan Peterson. He's met Jordan Peterson before, and all these people. And I'm like, is my name in the same book? And so I immediately reached out to him, and he's like, I've been waiting for you, man. And I'm like, what do you mean you've been waiting for me? He's like, I've been waiting for you. And I'm like, okay. And I started working with him. So he's an orphan. He was an orphan that, you know, his mom died and his dad abandoned him. And he had a very powerful plant medicine experience. And then he went deep, and he grew up Catholic, and he went, and he's not, what I love about it, he loves Jesus Christ and loves God. And he just loves humanity. And it's not, he wrote a book and proved that all these people were all focused on the same thing. There's always three, you know, there's a Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And, you know, everybody's trying to separate their religions and fight against each other. We're killing each other for religion. And he identifies through deep research, his whole research team, that we're all focused on the same thing. And we're all going to the same place. And so we started coaching together, and it's changed my life. It's really helped me understand, like, for example, J didn't even exist when the Bible was written. It wasn't even in the alphabet. We called him Jesus. His name is Yeshua. And again, that doesn't really matter. And like something he said to me powerfully, this is the type of coaching he does. I was like, because I get caught in these loops, right? Where it's like, you know, I start studying something and I was like, okay, I keep hearing people keep asking me about flat earth. And he goes, okay, JB, he goes, the earth's flat. They're out on this. He goes, earth's flat. Cool, it's flat. Now, what the fuck are you going to do today? And he goes, wait. And then the next day he texts me, he goes, hey, JB, the earth's square. What are you going to do today? He goes, JV, the earth's round on Friday. What are you going to do today? He goes, it doesn't matter if the earth is round, flat, square, oblong. He goes, what are you going to do on the flat earth today? He goes, I don't know if it's round, flat. He goes, all I know is what I can control is my thoughts, my actions, my behaviors, and my emotions. He goes, so what if you find out the earth is flat? You spent all that energy, life force energy, trying to figure something out, telling everybody they're wrong, telling, and you know, so then that prayer thing, I was like, you know, his name's not Jesus. And he's like, I said, am I praying incorrectly? And he's like, what do you mean, dude? He's like, what are your intentions? I said, well, my intentions are to, I document my prayers on Twitter because I know they archive them, and I want my grandkids to be able to see that stuff in the future. That's why I do it. I'm able to look back on Twitter and my social media is a documentation of my journey. That's what it is. And I get to look back at my social and see how much I've grown or things that I'm struggling with, or I can tell by my social media posts. Cause you know how we do shit like this, like the other day I put some lion post up, and like, I'm thinking in my mind, when people see that, they're going to be like, oh shit, JV's upset. And nobody cares, dude. In my mind though, I'm like, you know, I'm a lion and I'm pissed off and this person is going to know. Right. And everybody else. But again, I it humbles me, cause I'm like, you know what? Nobody really cares that I posted that, but I care because I can look back at that and I can go, damn, dude, you were in a really low frequency. You were being a little bitch, dude. Like you were not focused. You're being a little punk. You're worried about what somebody else is doing, and you decided to put it. So it's my own self-reflection. And it's such I just think it's a beautiful journey. So Matt and Chase are both my coaches. He's out in Peru. I go to Peru every year. But Matt's, it's the most unlikely people, man. This dude is an orphan. If you met him, you'd be like, wow, man. And we spent a lot of time together. And all he does is just answer. He doesn't ever tell me what to believe. He just allows me to ask questions, and it gets me to contemplate. That's it.
Yeah. So as we wind down here, I want to finish up here talking about you know, as we grow as individuals and our beingness grows, persecution starts to come in. That can, you know, and how you respond to that's important. And then also, as we grow and get known, and I call it becoming that one, right? And our celebrity grows, which we're like, hopefully when you're growing your celebrity, it's for impact, not ego. How do you keep from your ego taking over? And like, I'm Coach JV. Look at me. Got my beard. You know what I mean? My muscles are still here. You know, I got a big community now. Money's coming in.
Yeah.
Like that thing that there's a temptation there, right? What do you do to keep yourself focused on your original intention as things start to grow and as your manifestations start to come in and God starts to bless you? How do you, like, what's your go-to to stay there where you need to be?
Yeah, I'll first start with team and then I'll back into the answer to that. So your team is really important. Like, I have a very tight circle around me and they have full 100% reign to tell me if I'm out of line and vice versa. So here's what it does for me. So my team knows what I encourage everybody to read Ray Dalio's book, Principles. It's the one where you develop principles. Ray Dalio's a genius. So what I did was I developed principles. So my principles for business is integrity, honesty, and uncompromising belief in God. For family, it's peace, freedom, and family structure. My team knows that. Everybody who does business with me knows my principles. So what does that mean? Within our business, if it's outside of integrity, we have to be able to measure the person's honesty. So if we're going to do business with somebody, and we have to be able to speak about our belief systems or be in an environment where we can speak about our belief systems. It doesn't mean you have to believe in God. So that's how I keep myself in alignment. So I'm a crypto influencer. I was offered hundreds of thousands of dollars to promote crypto. I can confidently and proudly say we didn't take one dime. When the markets collapsed, I could have been shilling cryptocurrencies and not one dime because of my principles, integrity, honesty, and uncompromising belief in God. And that wouldn't be in alignment with God. For my family, it's peace, freedom, and family structure. I'll give you an example. You know, we've been approached for some business opportunities and things like that. The question I asked them, I said, well, and this may turn some people off, but my family is extremely important to me, and raising my son and being there for my daughter is extremely important to me. There was an opportunity to take on a business, and I had to be on meetings every 5 o'clock at night. I said, no. They were like, what are you talking about? I said, absolutely not. At 2 o'clock every day, I'm off to be with my kids. Now, the grinders out there are like, oh, I'm like, no, my kids are extremely important to me. I'm still becoming a multimillionaire, even though I'm off at 2 every single day. So I think but why is because of my intentions. I'm very intentional with what I do. So how do I keep my ego under control? I realized that I have everything I need, therefore I get everything I want. And I realized I know nothing, therefore I gain everything. And when I realized that, it made me the richest man in the world, because if all my crypto can be taken, all my businesses can be taken, as long as I have my family, God, and friends like you, I'm good, man. And when you operate at that level of consciousness, which is integrity, honesty, and authenticity, the flood of abundance comes. It just doesn't stop, because if you believe that he'll feed the birds, that he'll feed you, you're good.
Yeah. So I got to finish the show with this right here. So this is how in alignment we are. You know, I have my same thing. I call it my vitals. And it's an acronym. Vibes matter and emotions are contagious.
I love that.
I, imagine no lids, endless potential. T, take 100% responsibility. A, all setbacks are rocket fuel. L, leadership starts with me. And S, success is the only option. And so, you know, there's they call it that, you know, hints to success, or what do they call it? There's, you know, when you see somebody that's having success, they have something behind them. And when you start to explore that, which I have on this show, I don't know, 700 episodes now. I don't even know how many episodes we've had. I start to see these synchronicities, these similarities of people that have had success and that are doing it the right way. And I say the right way, meaning that they're not in it for ego. They're in it for impact. And, you know, it's just awesome, dude. And it's really refreshing. So I want to thank you for being here. I like I said, we got to do this again. This again, but, I wanted to let you know, I love you, man. I appreciate you. I'm behind you. I'm a fan of yours.
Thank you, man. I'm a fan of yours too, man. It's been a huge impact since we met you. And like, you showed me the power of community. And like, I've been siloed in my own community, our Warrior Academy, but I haven't really branched out for the fear. It's my own fear is that you're helping me get over not trusting people, man, to be honest with you. Because there were so many things that happened to me within partnerships, but just realized it was the things in me that I needed to heal. And once I healed that, I attracted people like you that realized, that made me realize there's a lot of good people out there that are just trying to help, man. And so I thank you and that one agency for really helping us out and getting us where we're going. It's been awesome.
Awesome. Great to hear, man. Thank you. And thank you for listening today or watching, however you're consuming this content. Make sure you like and subscribe to encourage us. Send us the energy our way so that we can continue to bring you great guests, sharing what they're made of. The journey to success is invisible unless we expose it. And this is your boy C-Rock signing off from That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. Until next time, be that one. Diamonds in my eyes, I know I'm special. In the gym, I gotta get my